Tuned in to FIDAI Caracast today with Dr. Sean Carter and Dr. Hill Rodriguez. We will be speaking about active release techniques. Hello and welcome to FIDAI Caracast. Today we have Dr. Sean Carter and Dr. Jill Rodriguez. I'm with my co-host Jonathan. And welcome. How are you guys?
Very good. Good morning. Good. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Likewise. Same here. We're going to be speaking about active release techniques. And I feel like there's a lot to speak about. I recently came to Dr. Carter's office. We had a great conversation in regards to all the techniques and everything that you guys can, you know, benefit from. And we're going to, you know, be giving some good education material today. And I have some questions that I wanted to ask you both. The first question will be, what sets ART apart, which is active release techniques for our listeners? What sets it apart from other muscle release techniques?
Well, that's a great question. As chiropractors, we tend to adjust the spine and focus primarily on that. But we have to remember, as chiropractors, we are neuromuscular skeletal doctors, and we're treating the interplay between the neuromuscular skeletal system. So there's a neural or a nerve aspect to it. There's a muscular aspect to it. There's a tendinous aspect to it. There's a capsule, joint capsule aspect to it. And then there's the joint articulation aspect to it. So in ART, or active release technique, it's a soft tissue method that focuses on relieving tension or removing adhesions within the muscles as a result of repetitive movements. So, you know, sitting at a desk all day with using your mouse and keyboard, your hip flexors are shortened as a result of the seat being seated all day. When you stand up, those muscles are being stretched all of a sudden. They're not, and after being contracted for several hours that day. The technique of ART is the focus of ART is to lengthen those muscles to a normal state of affairs by removing those adhesions that developed within the muscles while it was shortened and during the repetitive use or the overuse of the muscles. Okay, so it differentiates, it's differentiated from the adjusting part of chiropractic, which is the release of the or the correction of a restricted joint. So the two go hand in hand, and you get a better result as by using ART and the adjustment.
And I would like to add to that that ART also takes into account a lot more of the muscle anatomy and the soft tissue anatomy, as opposed to other techniques that are more general mobilizations. We're getting specifically into those fibrous adhesions. You are using certain movements that align with the muscle origin insertion and the striation of the muscle fibers to get it to move in the proper direction, to get it to fire properly again, which is a lot more specific than a lot of other techniques.
Yes, and I recently was looking at some videos in regards to active release techniques. I noticed that there's a lot of, you know, massaging, right? There's a lot of, because I was checking out some videos in regards to, people that do weights, they have a lot of scar tissue, so they have to go deep in the muscle. And how would you explain what happens in an ART session? Like, what do patients might feel?
They would feel, well, typically you're treating a region that's dysfunctioning, right? So they're going to feel a little discomfort. We're going into a muscle that, for instance, let's say somebody has a tendonitis in the elbow or the bicep, or actually more commonly, you know, the medial epicondylitis, which is an inflammation of the tendon. Whenever you hear itis, it means inflammation. And so if it's a tendonitis, it's an inflammation of a tendon. So typically the tendon is being pulled. And why is that tendon being pulled? Well, it could be from golfing. It could be from tennis, which would be a lateral epicondylitis. Overuse, right? But what's happening is you're overusing the muscles, and the muscles are getting rigid and tight and contracted. And the more contracted the muscle is, the more tension there's going to be on the tendon. So that tendon is now becoming inflamed at the area between the tendon and the bone junction, right? So the way to reduce that inflammation is by releasing the muscle. You release the tension in the muscle, and it can elongate the way it's supposed to. You're going to release the tension on the tendon and where it connects to the bone. So to answer your question, we would focus on a particular group of muscles that are connecting to the tendon to break up adhesions or scar tissue or fibrosis within those joint, within those muscles and in between those muscles, so that the muscles glide better and function better. And that relieves the situation, that relieves the inflammation in the tendon.
Interesting. I have a question regarding that, I guess, is because Orlando mentioned that he's seen it in some athletes in weightlifting, right? Is this the same thing that we see, for example, in basketball matches or in basketball games, soccer matches, where somebody goes into the game and starts like manipulating the player's muscle or the athlete's muscle? Is that the same thing, or is that differentiated, like the timing of when this is being done?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of professional teams have ART practitioners on their staff. So, I mean, you'll see a lot of either physical therapists, chiropractors, trainers on the sideline working on the athletes. Some of that may be active release technique that they're performing on the sidelines, because a lot of them, pretty much, especially for chiropractors, if you want to play for, I know, for a professional team or be a part of a professional team, one of the first questions they'll ask you is, are you ART certified? Because it's one of the most effective ways of releasing a lot of these adhesions, especially in very active people like athletes.
Right. You notice with ART, when you do it, when you apply it properly, the patient or the athlete will feel a significant change in their condition.
Almost immediately. Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to understand that, because you said it, like, you do notice like their immediate change of, like, you know, they go from limping and to they're actually like almost back to normal, right? And their performance levels.
It depends on the injury. Like, if, I'm not saying that if it's a severe strain, you're not going to get, the kind of result that you're going to get right away. It will take time for that. But I mean, if they have a Charlie horse, if they have a spasm in a muscle or something, and what's causing that, it could be related to the electrolyte levels. And, you know, they may have, you know, dehydrated, right, while they're playing. But, you know, not so much during the game or during the match is it effective. It's really helping the athletes recover quickly, because the muscles, they go through the lactic acid buildup and, you know, after a tough match. And you can speed up the recovery by breaking down and bringing circulation to the muscles, by breaking down adhesions and working in the affected muscles, by that causes a quicker recovery.
So you would say that that's more common to see it like in the locker room or in the after training sessions, where,
right,
where they're actually meeting with their recovery professionals. Okay.
It's more preemptive. Yep. It's you know, proactive approach to recovery and training, rather than getting injured, because a lot of injuries result from not being treated properly or not addressing these tight muscles beforehand. That's when tendons tear. That's when joints get sprained.
Or overuse too, which doesn't just happen to athletes. It can happen to anybody who's doing the same kind of job over and over and over again with the same movements. You know, these guys are training for very specific movements given their position, given their sport. So you tend to see these overuse injuries happening, and that's one of the things that this can help with as well.
Yeah, I understood, Jonathan, because, you know, when we're looking at, maybe we watch soccer sometimes, and, you know, a player goes out because of a Charlie horse or something like that, a strained calf, right? And they start working on it right away for it to come back in. Maybe right. If they don't have a substitution. So it's very common to see it maybe on the sideline, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you meant, Jonah?
Yeah, that's kind of what I've seen, and I wanted to understand if it was the same thing. But I mean, you guys are telling us that most of these people that work in the professional field are required to be ART certified, right? I would like to see if there's other places where, you know, maybe before you coming into your office or after getting out of your workday, you can see these professionals taking all this tension out of your muscles.
Plus, remember, it's soccer, right? So they can be carted off, and then 15 minutes later, they're back. Because, you know, I'm giving you a hard time.
Are you saying we should make house calls? Is that what you're saying?
Before, yeah.
Before going into the office?
Or I'm corporate available. Calls. Something like that. Yeah.
Ronaldo will be over in a half hour.
Hey, that's probably, I mean, for sure they have, you know, personal ART certified practitioner working on them, or, you know, I mean, all those teams right now, they have over 20 guys working on all these players. Oh, and yeah. That's a sport, you know? So oh, I think ART is one. Yeah. When did you guys get certified? Well, let's start with you, Dr. Carter.
So I was certified about 10 years ago. I went to Seattle to take a course, and I fell in love with the technique, and I've been using it ever since. And then, you know, recertifications ever since then. I specialize in the lower extremity. I think we have a lot of runners and people that lift weights and just everyday people that have ankle issues, knee issues, hip issues, and they don't know why they have pain in those joints. And once we start unraveling and doing some investigating and detective work into what may be, you know, causing it, like an IT band syndrome, which is a very common syndrome. You know, you have to look at the tensor fascia lata, which is the muscular portion of the tendon or the IT band. And when you release that, then it releases tension on the IT band, which connects to the knee. And so that resolves their knee pain quite often. When they have lateral knee pain, and you have to look at where the tendon is attaching to the knee. And if that's the place, there are specific protocols that you can use to release the IT band. And their knee pain goes away magically.
Okay, so, yeah. I was going to ask Dr. Rodriguez where did he get his certification.
So full disclosure, I am not ART certified yet. But I have been around enough practitioners that practice ART like Dr. Carter to pick up a few things. But that's one of the things we're going to be working on soon.
Awesome.
Just for the record, yeah. Dr. Gilbert is not doing ART in the office.
No, I am not.
Because he's not certified, and you have to be certified to correct. Perform it.
Great. Thank you for
letting us know. But important thing is to understand the subject and be able to know how that can be integrated and who to refer to that, right? Correct. That within your team that does it.
Dr. Gill has been working for 15 years now, 14, 15,
15 years.
And he's got a lot of tricks in his bag. I've seen him treat patients, and, you know, we're all practitioners, but we all do it differently. The general principles are the same, but we all have different techniques and approaches, right? And since Dr. Gill has joined the practice, patients, they love him. They're like, he's got such a great personality. He's got great hands, and he's really helped me. And so it's really encouraging satisfying to hear that from people.
We'll give you the 20 later, okay?
Absolutely. <Yeah. laughs> Speaking about people, and I experienced it, firsthand, being with Dr. Carter at his office last week. I was coming in with a bad low back, right? I wasn't feeling okay. I didn't know what was going on. We're actually with Dr. Carter shooting some stuff for the office, and I decided to just ask him, like, what's going on? You know, I'm wearing a back strainer, and I felt like I was very tense. I felt like I was leaning to one side, and Dr. Carter helped me. He took some X-rays, and the decompression was incredible. I mean, I felt it right away, and I feel like there was a psychological part to it, because right after that, I mean, I couldn't stop talking. You're going to hear, I was right next to Jonah, and I was just talking and telling him what we're going to do next. And coming into the office, I mean, we were just there having a conversation, but I wasn't feeling okay. I was very cloudy, right? And it was because of the pain. With, you know, the active release techniques, we have obviously benefits physically, but does ART offer any psychological benefits?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, let's say, you know, if you're in pain, you don't feel good. If your muscles are tight and achy and stiff, you're not going to feel great. Your brain is going to interpret that as stress in a stressful situation, because your brain and your body are a two-way street. They both talk to each other. So if you're uncomfortable, you're not going to be pleasant. The other thing that happens too is once you get adjusted, once we start doing some soft tissue work, you start to release endorphins and enkephalins. So you start to release these feel-good hormones. You know, endorphins are generalized feel-good hormones, and enkephalins are more localized between the cells. And once we do that, you're feeling better, you're in less pain, your muscles are more relaxed. So all of a sudden, your brain thinks, oh, we're feeling better. We're in a more relaxed state. Let's turn on more of that parasympathetic system. So you're going to feel relief. You're going to feel euphoric. Some patients have told me, after an adjustment, I feel like I just meditated, even though we just worked on it for 5 or 10 minutes. And that's the kind of endorphin release and mood that they're in afterwards. So it is very relaxing. Did you want to add anything to that, Doc?
I think psychologically and emotionally, people pair the adjustment and feeling good afterwards. And that really helps them heal emotionally and psychologically, because they feel like they have some hope, right? They have some optimism about, hey, if I have an issue like this, there's hope. I can just go to the chiropractor and I'll feel better. And they can predict that, you know. So if something happens, if they, you know, move furniture over the weekend, or bend down and pick up their child and hurt their back, or they sleep wrong and they have a stiff neck, they know that they can come into work that day, and we're right downstairs from their in the building, and they can, you know, the convenience of it is, oh, I'll go to work. I mean, a lot of people are working remotely. They'll actually come into work just to get adjusted, right? Instead of staying at home and, you know, listening to the baby crying and come into work and they actually look forward to coming into work because they get adjusted and they get a massage. And, you know, our practice is multidisciplinary. We have chiropractic, massage therapy is a big part of our chiropractic practice. There's also a physical therapist here. There's an acupuncturist here, the pain management doc. So, you know, we cover a lot of different bases and we collaborate with the other professionals. And if we find that a condition is outside the scope of our practice or would be better served by another practitioner, we refer the patient to them. So psychologically, emotionally, and physically, they're covered.
Yes, I could say that firsthand. Like I mentioned, I feel like right away, it's like you're married to your chiropractor. Right away, it's like I'm a lifetime patient, right? And I feel like that's also the focus, because there's just so much release and so much tension that I was holding that I, you know, I relate to maybe a lot of patients why they go to the same chiropractor and they become lifelong patients with right. And is that the focus also? I mean, I would think that, you know, without all the emotion and you know, all the weight that this type of patients carry, let's say, you know, maybe work people that work in offices, desk warriors, as we call them, right?
Right.
They will, right, nowadays, they will benefit a lot from all this, like people with sedentary jobs. How will they benefit from it?
Good question. Just to touch on a couple of things you spoke about there. I've been practicing in Manhattan for the last 20 years, and I have patients that followed me from Queens, where my original practice was, in Flushing, Queens. People have been coming to me for 15, 20 years, and there is an emotional bond that forms between not only me, but my associates as well. They know that this is a place they can trust. They know that this is a place they're going to get some relief. And I think that helps their emotional and psychological side of the, you know, fear of pain and concern and anxiety and things like that. So just wanted to, you know, comment on that. And the other question was how about ART?
How would people who are sedentary benefit from ART?
Right.
That's warrior. So, office. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Gil and I were talking with you earlier about, I don't know, 80% of the people that are working in the workforce are sitting at a computer a large portion of the day, several hours, and oftentimes without breaks. And they're in a very confined position where they're sitting. So their hip flexors are shortened. Their extensors, the hamstrings are also shortened. The arm is in a very limited range of motion. You know, overuse syndrome of the hand, using a mouse, using keyboard. Your head is flexed forward. So, you know, over time, you're starting to slump. Your posture is suffering. So all of these muscles are, you know, certain muscles are lengthening abnormally and certain muscles are shortening abnormally. And so as ART practitioners, we're looking to be detectives of which muscles are shortened, which muscles are lengthened, where adhesions are occurring, where biomechanics are not working the way they should. And so we have to find those regions to lengthen the muscles to their normal length, or at least approach their normal length. For instance, we spoke earlier about the psoas muscle, which is a hip flexor. Everybody that comes into the office with low back pain, we're going to check their hip flexors, and we're going to do ART on the hip flexor just to release the muscle so that they can, you know, relieve some of the pain, because most times it, you know, going to find adhesions in the hip flexors.
I guess following that question and maybe to give people tools, right? How do you help your patients identify certain things? Like, for example, like, in my case, right, I've been able to communicate, and I'm very curious about the subject, and I've been able to communicate with not just you, Dr. Carter, but like other doctor, you know, the other doctors that I've worked with in the past, and they taught me to identify certain things. How do you do it with, you know, with ART related, you know, techniques, as well as, you know, with the other things that you have, the other techniques that you include in your practice? How do you help your patients get tools and be educated to identify what they're feeling? Because sometimes people are not connected with their body. They just know they got pain.
Yeah, you can, you know, some patients, like, you can talk until you're blue in the face and, you know, explain to them, hey, this is what's going on here. And they're like, okay, all right. And they leave and they come back and they ask the same question again the next time they come in. And so you realize that they're not as interested in knowing or identifying what the problem is as much as they are interested in coming in and feeling better. Other patients are very aware of their bodies and they know exactly what's going on, and they're, you know, they're connected, as Gil mentioned before. So they come in and say, I have a problem with my medial epicondyle. I have a tendonitis, or I have an impingement in my left shoulder, and I've had this before, or it feels like it's getting frozen again or something like that. And so they're connected, and so we don't have to really educate them as much. Most people fall in the middle, and you got to, you know, educate them about what the issues are, how they can improve their posture, and how can they can take frequent breaks, and how they can strengthen certain muscles, especially the back muscles, scapular muscles, to prevent your shoulders from rolling forward, how they can do chin tucks so that we can get those posterior muscles working the way they're supposed to, so that your neck isn't forward like this, because that puts an awful lot of strain on the joints and the discs in the cervical spine. So, you know, it's just every individual has a different set of circumstances, but they're quite similar.
Right. We try to educate patients as much as we can. You know, when they present with a certain problem, here's what's going on, here's what's causing it, here's what you're feeling, here's why you're feeling it. And then we explain the treatment plan to them. But Dr. Cotta is right. There are patients who will come in and say, you know, my left QL muscle is really stiff and tight. I probably have a trigger point there. And you check and they're right. So they're so in tune. They're telling you what's going on. I mean, you always trust and verify, and you palpate and you find, and you ask your questions and you do your exam. But, you know, there is a range. There's patients that we'll spend time with educating and they go, oh, cool, awesome. And then that's it. And then there's patients who come in and they're really interested in their health, and they're very interested and very attuned in their body, and they pretty much tell you what's going on.
Okay. I like that. I like that. Trust and verify.
Trust and verify.
Sounds like someone I remember.
Always trust but verify.
Right.
Yes. I mean, now with so much information and, you know, everyone maybe looking for wellness and home and, you know, improvement in their bodies, I feel like a lot of people who work from home, right, they're always looking for better ways of how to sit at home and what chair to buy and what is the best routine to do through the day to make sure they get a good posture. I mean, I'm fixing my posture just speaking with you guys. I'm like,
yeah, I know. So am I. Yeah. I'm sitting here self-correcting because I'm on a podcast and I want to make sure I have a proper posture. But to your point, like a lot of people you would think would be more interested in a better ergonomic situation, but they don't make the effort to correct it. Like they'll sit at the kitchen table
or on the couch
in a high stool, right? Or on a couch in a slump position with a laptop on their lap for hours a day. And it's just terrible way to live. Terrible way. And you get up, and I know from my you know, if I sit and watch television for a while, or if I'm maintaining a bad posture, and I get up, I'm like, oh my God, what was I doing to my body for the last 3 hours? You know, you've got to get up and move around. You got to keep moving. Activity is very, very important. Just keep the blood flowing. Like, I had a shoulder surgery 3 months ago, a torn rotator cuff, and I had it repaired. And it was swollen for a few weeks after, you know, the edema, and it was healing. And I couldn't wait to start getting some blood through my system just to get all that toxicity and inflammation out of that area. So I started going to getting massage a little earlier than they recommended just to sort of get fluids moving, right? And then I started doing some PT and some exercises. I remember one day it was really painful after a workout, after a PT session, and I went for a run. I have an anti-gravity treadmill in my office, so I run on this thing without having that full impact, and I feel fantastic afterwards. Part of it is the endorphins that are released when you do some exercise like that, but the other part of it is the circulatory effects heal the area quicker and get all that junk out of the area that's congested, right? And so the shoulder felt immediately better. And that's just, you know, that propels me to want to do that exercise over and over again.
Sure.
You were about to say something?
I was going to speak on regards to ergonomics and how important that is. Because most people are working from home. And one of the things that we talk about is not only do we want to treat you and get you feeling better and get you feeling great with your endorphins pumping, but emphasizing good habits like standing up, stretching, walking. But, you know, one of the things we have to get to is, why is your neck bothering you? You're working from home on a couch on a laptop. That's not the best thing to do. And we'll treat you and get you feeling better, but let's address the issue here. So ergonomics is another thing that we'd love to talk about in the office, especially with most people working from home, having a good chair, having a good setup, ideally having a sit-to-stand desk, ideally have working off of a monitor. If not on a monitor, then on a laptop stand with a separate keyboard and mouse. All these little things that sound like minor details, but when you're doing it for hours on end, multiple days a week, it adds up. And again, it becomes this micro trauma, this repetitive stress, or this lack of stress, lack of motion, that leads to a lot of
stasis these, also.
Exactly. Stasis leads to these fibrous adhesions. Here's ART to break some of that up. Here's ART to get some of those endorphins going and releasing and feeling better. So we're not designed to sit. I mean, that's one of the things I tell my patients all the time. We're really not designed as human beings to be in a seated position. It's not where our muscles like to be. It's not where our body likes to be. So we have to make it a point to get up and move.
And look at the four of us. We're all sitting.
Exactly. This is not what we're designed to do.
That's exactly.
Let's get up and move around a little bit.
It's a sedentary life, you know, that a lot of people have, because, you know, they sit at home, they work, then they get in their car, right? They're sitting also, and then they drive all the way somewhere else where they're going to sit and then spend some time, come back. And they don't even notice. I was speaking to my brother the other day after speaking with Dr. Carter, and I was like, hey, you know, he was like, oh, my back is bothering me. I was like, make the investment, you know, get a good chair, get a good desk. Switch it up, right? Get a medicine ball, stand up, kind of a mix of everything to get his body moving, because you don't notice at a young age, right? But I feel like later on, all that pays off, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I think especially down here in Miami, I'm just right now visiting my family, right? And I lived here for 20 years before I left Miami, and I don't think I could get used to this lifestyle again. Like, just getting into your car, going to the store, into your car, going to the soccer practice for the girls, get into your car, going to the job. Like, you're not walking, like, you're not even digesting your food, right? So, like, one thing I had in New York is like, okay, you get up, you walk around the corner to the barbershop, or you walk around the corner to your store. Like, there's a little bit more access for you to walk, at least in New York City, right? And people are also rushing. So, like, you kind of like get the speed of New Yorkers eventually, you get used to it. But yeah, like, I think it's a challenge for at least for people here in South Florida. I don't know if I could get used to this lifestyle again. I was thinking about it yesterday. And
so what do you
mean? I don't know how. What do I do?
Yeah, do you drive anywhere or you walk everywhere?
No, I mean, I'm moving to Spain. I'm moving to Malaga, right? And over there, I don't need a car because I can catch the bus. I can walk anywhere. I could also take the train. Like, the access to, you know, you jumping on a bike. I like to actively move anywhere that I have to go, whether it's the store, the beach, whatever it is that I have to do, or a co-working space, right? Like, even that, like, I try to go to a co-working space at least once or twice a week, because working from home, there's times that you don't leave for 3 days and it's like, dude, you got to get out and catch some vitamin D or get a fresh breath, fresh air, right? It's like, I don't know. I just find it a little challenging to get back to the lifestyle here in South Florida. And a lot of people have moved down from New York and California down to South Florida.
Only the smart ones.
Only the smart ones?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's once for others. The climate's great, right? I mean, you see the scenery. You go outside and you're like, it's beautiful. But you just see no one walking around.
You don't see anyone walking out here.
It's really? Like great weather, but nobody's in the street because the distances are so long. You're always having to catch a cab or a car or an Uber or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. I start perspiring when I think about going outside in Miami, you know? But, you know, talking about the weather, we're having some really nice weather right now. Right after you left. You got bad luck, man. I mean, you came here at a time. It was drenching. It was drenching rain here. We had he lost his power up in his home.
Yeah, up in Rochelle, we lost some power. I think along the entire sound there, a lot of the towns lost power. So it was that storm was pretty bad.
And as soon as you left, we got the Miami weather. You know.
Let me ask you something. I forgot to ask you, Dr. Carter. Well, both you and Dr. Jill, how was the earthquake for you guys? How did you feel it in New York?
It was great. Yeah.
Great. I thought there was a truck moving by the building. I was like, what's that rumble? Is there heavy machinery being moved? What is that?
I was actually in the physical therapist's office, and I walk into the waiting room after I finished my PT session, and they said, did you feel the ground shake? And I said, that happens whenever I enter the room. And they looked at me like I was crazy. Who's this crazy old man, you know? They weren't ready for me.
No.
You know, they're not ready for that kind of humor anymore, you know?
For all those people that were working sedentary jobs, they got them moving.
Oh, they got up.
Yeah, they're like, whoa, what was that?
What was that? Yeah. That was Chuck Norris dropping his deadlift weight.
Right. No, but occasionally New York we have a fault running, which I didn't know up until about 10 years ago. We had an earthquake about 10 years ago, and the same thing, I felt the rumble in the building. Like, what was that, you know? And of course, the first thing that came to mind was, I hope that wasn't terrorism, right? You know?
Exactly.
But, you know, then it was reported in the news, oh, yeah, we had an earthquake. And so this time around, when I didn't feel it, but when they told me that they felt it, I thought, well, it could be an earthquake, you know? And so, yeah, we picked my son up from school just to make sure that we were with him in the event of aftershocks or something like that. But it happens occasionally, every decade or so. Okay.
Every decade or so, yeah, because it's not common. I mean, you know, Jonah lived in San Francisco. We were speaking about it. We were like, oh, you get into San Fran like every day. But like here in New York, it's just not.
Yeah, over there it's common. Yeah, over there it's very common. There's while I was there.
How frequently? Would be
very frequent. Like you, and some people don't feel it. Some people are already like, I don't know what it's in their body, but they don't feel it. I started feeling them and I was reading in bed before going to bed and I just felt the bed moving. I'm like, what's going on? The same thing, right? It's a truck. And then I started looking into like, okay, was this like an earthquake or, and every day almost like there's something nearby that, you know, happening underground. And yeah, it's very common over there. Even in Colombia too, where I was at in the coffee region, it's also very common. We had one in January too. It was, I felt it more over there than the one that we felt over there in Westchester, because we were in Westchester when this one just hit. Yeah. But now I'm used to it. Before, when I was in San Francisco, I'm like, what's going on? Why is this always shaking? And I eventually got used to it. I'm like, oh, that was another quake.
I think the crust of the earth needs a little ART.
Right. It got some people moving, got the earth moving.
Got to get those plates straightened out.
You know, getting back to ART, which I have an interesting question I wanted to ask you both in regards to, patients, any story where a patient has significantly improved his condition due to ART.
Any stories, do you know of any? I have one. I'll talk about myself for a moment. I played a lot of basketball in my life, and I've run. I used to run a lot. And I hired a young associate, Phoebe Sampaio, chiropractor, and she was an ART practitioner. She was amazing, and patients loved her. And that's really what started to pique my interest in the technique. So my knee was hurting for about 6 months, and I couldn't figure out what it was. I thought, maybe it felt like a patella tendonitis or quadriceps issue, and it was just above the patella. And so I asked her to take a look at it one day, and she did this one technique, one protocol for, which is an ART technique for the genu articularis, and it's a muscle that I'd never heard of before. It's right, between the femoral condyles and the patella, which is above the patella. So she did this technique, and I stood up, and I never felt the pain after that. It was immediate, and I was just like, wait a minute, it couldn't be that effective. And the pain was just gone. I was running, and I tested it, and I didn't have the pain anymore. And she did it a few times, but I remember the first time that she did it, it was so impressive and so immediate that I got this relief that had been bothering me literally for 6 months. I stood up, and the pain was gone. So that's how effective the technique can be.
Yes, and I feel like you just feel the relief right away. Dr. Carter has big hands, and you're very strong. Your technique, when you were decompressing me, I felt, the release right away, but I can just tell that if I was to have, let's say, some scar tissue or something more deep, I will feel the release right away, because just the tension of my lower back was gone right away. Yeah. So it's very interesting how, to understand the tissues and the muscles and getting deep in there. I wanted to ask you something, because I saw it in a video. There is some tools that I've seen some chiropractors use in order to, like, I guess, massage the area. And it becomes red. What are those tools called, and are they used in ART every time there's a session?
That's Graston. You're probably talking about Graston.
Graston technique, or Graston tool, it's either called a Gua Sha tool or a Graston tool. It's a different technique where they're using the tools to almost create a little bit of inflammation within those muscle fibers to promote healing and promote circulation. A little bit different than ART, but it is another soft tissue mobilization technique.
Yeah, it's more superficial. I think it's aimed at being more superficial. You're basically scraping the underlying tissues, the subdermal tissues.
Mm-hmm.
With the tool, it's basically, it's like rolfing it on a superficial metal.
Right, you're trying to break up any fascial adhesions with the tool. It saves, some doctors like it, especially because it saves your hands. You don't have to use as much force with your hands, but it is another technique that other doctors use.
Okay,
and physical therapists
as well. It's not just chiropractors. Yeah,
but they're not deep. Right, like ART, they're not going in deep.
Right. It's not as specific.
It's not as specific, I would say.
Yeah. It's not nearly as specific. because it's just really superficial. And you're just trying to also get some hyperemia. Sometimes you just want to get some circulation into the area. A lot of times they'll do it around the shoulder, which is, you know, it's kind of a bony area. But, you know, just getting that hyperemia and the circulation into those tissues is important. So it's an effective technique. I'm not, you know, minimizing the technique at all, but it's just not as specific as ART.
Yeah, Dr. Carter and Dr. Rodriguez, you mentioned the rigidness of the certification and the recertification of ART, right? Yes. How does that differ from like other techniques and, you know, approaches that are being done out there in the field that are similar to what you guys do?
That's a good question, because Dr. Leahy actually patented the technique, which is I think it's the only technique that's been patented like that.
There's one of the few.
But I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, I'm not an ERT practitioner and I'm not certified, but from Dr. Cotter and other doctors who have done it, it seems like the seminars are more like exams. It's more that they grill you on questions on muscle anatomy. They grill you on technique. They make sure that you're doing it properly. They really want to ensure that anybody who's ART certified is doing it exactly as they're demonstrating in their seminars. And they're, you know, there's a lot of play in practice with chiropractors. You know, the joke is if you go to three different chiropractors, you get four different treatments. So, you know, they want to make sure that each person coming out of that seminar is practicing it almost exactly the same way.
They have very high standards.
Yeah. So as I was mentioning earlier, it's, you know, the ART community wants to make sure that everybody's practicing pretty much the same way. I mean, there's a lot of leeway in how we practice chiropractic care. Everybody has their own technique. Everybody has their own, that's why it's called the art of chiropractic. Everybody has their own way of doing certain mobilizations, certain manipulations, with the end goal being the same. But with ART, they want to make sure that everybody's doing it exactly the same way. Everybody's protocols are very similar, that everything that we're doing is aligning with one another, so that when you see one ART practitioner and you get referred to somebody else because you moved somewhere or you went somewhere, that you're getting at least as close to the same thing as possible, even though it's a different person, a different practitioner.
And I'll add that the ART community, they also... anyone that's certified is put on the directory, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And if someone is traveling between states or looking for an ART practitioner, they can pretty much trust that they're going to go to a practitioner that's certified. Well, they it's absolutely certified, and that they're going to be a competent practitioner.
Okay. So I was saying that, you know, with this such specific you know, requirements and training, there's really no room for interpretation for the practitioners, like for their own interpretation. They're actually following very specific and uniform techniques that actually work.
Yes, yes. Now, I'm not going to say that everybody is at the same competence level. You know, there are some are, you know, less experienced and some are more experienced. And there are people that, you know, their reputation is highly regarded, and they've been doing ART for a very long time. So you know, everybody's hands are different, right? So everybody's style is different. Some chiropractors are better adjusters. Some chiropractors are better at, you know, ART. So, you know, so you have to find the person that's best suited for you. You'll know that when you meet them and when you experience their treatment. ART is an art, and everybody practices their art differently.
It's in their name. It's in the name, right?
It's all in the name. Self-explanatory.
That's right.
Do you want to add anything, Jonah?
No, I mean, I guess, you know, to close it off is where do you see this specific technique headed in the future? Is there anything that, like, you know, findings or new research that is being done within that field or that community?
One thing about Dr. Leahy, Michael Leahy, he's an innovator. He developed the technique, a very bright guy. He's an engineer by trade. He worked as a colonel in the Air Force as a pilot. And he's just a very innovative guy. He goes to all of the seminars and makes sure that the quality of the seminars are at a very high level. He'll bring a specific case or you know, ask the group, is there a specific condition that we can approach? And he'll resolve that issue within 10 minutes. It's incredible what he can do. I think, as I, you know, we were talking casually earlier, you know, the one thing about chiropractic is it's hands-on. We're very much in tune with what's going on in people's bodies. We're a mechanical doctor, so we're treating the neuromusculoskeletal aspects of their conditions, and they're interrelated. So we treat the nerve, the muscle, and the joint, and the capsules, and all of the related tissues. That's never going to be replaced by AI. It's never going to be replaced by any technology. They keep trying, but I think we're pretty safe in the future. So I feel good about it.
I also feel good. I also feel good about continuing to have an emotional connection with the practitioner, right? The physician, because I feel that, you know, in medicine, that is a thing that a lot of physicians lack, maybe in their training, but with the chiropractors and the physical therapists that I've met, and even acupuncturists, I tend to have that like connection, right? And that is why I've also decided, you know, for the most part, whenever I have to go to a physician, I try to go and meet with one of those three for any of my you know, current illnesses or physical or even mental well-being challenges that I'm currently experiencing. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, chiropractors are hands-on, and that is a very, very important aspect of treatment and healing. And so even, you know, I have patients that have conditions that I don't necessarily treat because it's outside my scope of practice, but they trust me enough to come to me and say, what do you think I should do here? Do you know any practitioners that can handle this well? And so I make referrals to orthopedists and medical doctors all the time. We find things. I had a guy that came in several months back. He's a friend of mine. He's a restaurateur. He's on his feet all the time. And he had a leg that was swollen. He thought it was coming from his back because he played softball for 8 hours the day before. And it turned out he had a clot in his artery, in one of his arteries in his thigh, and the leg was turning blue and red. And I said, you've got to go to the emergency room, man. You've got to take care. This is not something that you should mess around with. And he went, he didn't want to go. He's a very stubborn guy. I talked to his wife. I said, you got to bring him to the emergency room. It's a problem. And sure enough, it was a clot, and they did surgery on it. They put him on, you know, blood thinners for several months to try to clear this thing up. And, you know, it probably saved his life because he was one of these guys that he was not going to listen to doctors and not going to go into, you know, go in for any surgery or anything like that. But they convinced him. They took a CAT scan and they finally realized that this is a serious condition. You got to take care of it right away. So those are things that happen in your life that you feel really good about. You know, we don't forget about the mistakes. We try to forget about the mistakes we make.
What was that you, Dr. Jill, said earlier? Is it trust and verify?
Trust and verify, yeah.
Verify.
I trust you, but I want to make sure. Let me check it out.
There you go.
I really like that. That's a political phrase that used to be used years ago. His name, by the way, is Gil. I know
not Gil.
Hispanic.
Gilberto Rodriguez.
Yeah. Right. So he's great. I love this guy as an associate. He's one of my best associates ever. And I've been practicing for over 30 years. So
30 years, wow.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Carter, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
This is definitely one of the best episodes we've had. I feel like it sparked a lot of good ideas for our listeners. And the conversation doesn't end here, right? So
we always continue. It always continues.
That's correct. So for our listeners, stay tuned into Fight That Chirocast. Don't forget to subscribe to our channels and up to the next episode. Thank you, Dr. Carter, and thank you, Dr. Gilbert Rodriguez.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Take care.